Amen. Praise the Lord for the message and song tonight. Amen. If you would open up your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Now, more than one person has mentioned to me that there is a basketball game tonight, and I'm well aware that Indiana plays tonight, and I would never do anything to shorten a service or anything like that. We're just going to preach from one verse tonight, Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. I promise, has nothing to do with the fact the game's on tonight. I would not stoop to such carnal things. So, Matthew chapter number 5, one verse, verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. We'll read that one more time. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? For it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to sing your praises, to worship you, Lord, to open your word and to study it and to learn something, Father, and apply it to our hearts and our lives. And Father, as we come to the most important part of the message, Lord, not because of anything I have to say or to offer, but because of the opening of your word, I pray, Lord, that you would, first of all, just fill me with your spirit. God, I've got nothing of myself to offer or to say, but I pray that you'd help me only say those things that need to be said. And Father, I pray that you would just guide every word and every truth of your word directly to hearts. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to not to be hearers only, but to be doers as well, to take it and apply it to our hearts and our lives. God, I pray that you would bind Satan from distracting. Lord, I know that many in this room are probably tired and weary, but Lord, I pray that over the next few minutes, we would just direct our mind, our heart, our attention to exactly what you have for us from your word. And I pray that you would just again bless this message time now. And Lord, again, I pray that your spirit would be all over. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Important battle that you probably never heard of took place on October 2nd, 1864, when two Union forces converged on an area of southwestern Virginia. Not really a common battleground area during the Civil War area, not really a hotbed, so to say, but a important battle took place there in the Civil War, towards the end of the Civil War, at least an attempt to conquer there. And so the very large Union forces again went on the attack there on the Confederate forces in that southwestern Virginia area. And by the time it was all said and done with, over the course of two or three days, over 500 men lost their lives. And even as the Union forces retreated away from this city in southwestern Virginia, as they tucked tail and ran, actually, even though they greatly outnumbered the Confederates, they were chased off and left. And even later, those Confederates found some of the wounded in hospitals and makeshift tents and actually committed a massacre during that time as well, which is the more notable reason why this battle would be known of. But all of this was over the control of a very valuable mineral, something that was very important to the battle, the Civil War, especially to the South. It wasn't for gold, wasn't for silver, wasn't over precious jewels. It was over salt. Saltville, Virginia, the battle, the first and second battle, as they're known, of Saltville, took place on October 2nd, 1864, over salt. Now, I think we'd all agree tonight that salt has always been and always will be necessary for man to live. It's something that's necessary, it's always been valuable, it's always been important. And as we come to this passage in Matthew chapter number 5, it should be no surprise or no wonder to us that Jesus would choose to use something of such importance, although others may not carry much value towards it or may not see it as very important, but Jesus Christ himself chose to use this metaphor for something as important as talking to these people on the Sermon on the Mount. So over these chapters, chapter number 5, over the next couple chapters would be that of the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with the Beatitudes. It's certainly a passage of Scripture we're very familiar with. At the end of chapter number 6, we see that he's got a great following of people, and to get himself away from the multitude at the beginning of chapter number 5, he goes up with his disciples into a mount, and there meets with his disciples, not a large group, but just a small group there of his disciples, and delivers this Sermon on the Mount, as we're familiar with. And so he chooses to use salt as a metaphor in this passage, and he also uses light as well. But a metaphor is a word or phrase for one thing that is used to refer to another thing in order to show or suggest that they are similar. So that's what a metaphor is using one thing to kind of describe or to illustrate or to compare another thing, not saying that it is like, that is a simile, but comparing one thing to another, as he did here in this passage, verse 13 and verse number 14 as well, when he talks about light. So in addressing his disciples, he's going to teach them many important things in the Sermon on the Mount about being a follower of him, being a Christian, the Beatitudes. He teaches them on prayer, on worry, on the broad way and the narrow way, on false teachers, on the foundations you can build on, that of stone or that of sand, and all of that would be included in this Sermon on the Mount. But one thing that just stuck out to me was this idea of salt. And I've heard a lot on the light portion of be the light of the world, and understand I've heard things on the salt as well, and so I don't expect that there be anything new tonight, but as I think about this, I think we have to understand the importance of salt to begin with and why it is that Christ wanted to compare and kind of show a similitude between these two and kind of use this metaphor to compare us to salt, because there's a few things to note about salt and kind of in the relationship of this. And first of all is this, that salt is valuable. Salt is valuable. Now, why is it that Jesus chose to use salt? Well, what does it mean for us? What's the point that he's trying to get across here? Can I tell you this? That Jesus used the comparison of us to salt on purpose. It was deliberate. All right. I think sometimes we kind of lose track of that, that everything that Jesus did within Scripture, everything that he said was very choice. It was very purposeful. It was very deliberate. And so even when he would ask questions within the New Testament, it's not because he didn't know the answer. There was a reason or a point he was trying to make by asking the question. So even as we come to this, we come to salt, we understand that there's a reason why he used it. And I believe the reason why he used it, it was something that everybody could relate to. It was something that the disciples were aware of. It's something that was of great value. Salt was of great value. Salt is valuable. Now, for all of human history, salt has been a valuable and necessary part of our lives. From the very earliest civilizations and a lot of the very earliest settlements, and even within our country, some of those were centered around paths that were made by animals to salt licks. And of course, the hunters would there try to find the animals going to and from the salt licks because the animals were attracted to it, enjoying the taste of salt, and then many settlements and small towns would pop up along those paths. And so as mankind began to spread throughout the world as well, salt became an important trading commodity. Something that they would, it's not present everywhere, so it would have to be manufactured at times and then mined as well and then traded. There's even a time in ancient civilizations where salt was used as currency. You know, it was so valuable, salt was so valuable that during the Roman Empire, the pay that the Roman soldiers would get, the pay that they would be given would be called salarium argentum, which means this, it means salt money. And you say, well, why was it salt money? Well, there's kind of two different schools of thought on why it was called salt money, either because they were paid partly in salt, or the Romans were paid that money, and one of the first things they would do was purchase salt with it because of the necessity it was for many different reasons we'll talk about in just a second. So regardless of the reason, that was what it was called, was that salarium argentum. But that word salarium itself, that is the word from which we derive our English word of salary. So it comes from that as very same thing as well. So we understand the worth and the value that's there. Even during the height of the Grecian Empire, one of the things that they would use to purchase their slaves was that of salt. And oftentimes they would say if the slave was not living up to its potential or he was not earning and working like he should, they would say of that slave that he was not worth his salt. They would say he was not worth his salt, understanding that the salt was what was given to acquire that slave. We could go on throughout history and talk about many different other times and the value of salt. For centuries, the French had a salt tax, and that would force the people to buy the salt from them. And then, of course, that was one of many reasons that would contribute to the necessity of the French Revolution. And the salt trade can even be accredited to, here in the United States, the building of the Erie Canal in the early 1800s because of getting salt from the Hudson River into the Great Lakes. They built the Erie Canal as one of those reasons. So all that within history, we understand that salt is valuable. The one thing is very clear, and I think it's understood by Jesus even using it as an example, is that salt is valuable. Salt is very, very important. Now, for most of us, salt seems so abundant and so commonplace that we rarely contemplate its value. Now, I think that we all have things of value and we treat it with value and we might even hide it or we might protect it or we might lock it away and we consider it valuable, but I don't think anybody here has their salt locked away in a safe at home, okay? I don't think it's locked away in some. I don't think we would go and you would have a place in the bank where we could open your deposit box and there is a supply of salt. That's not it because we treat it so commonplace and we don't really think about the value that it holds. And although there is a seemingly endless list and uses for salt, there are some fairly common ones that we find valuable on a regular basis. And I believe that as Jesus is giving this as an example, that these would apply to kind of the Christian and the importance of being that salt. We understand, first of all, about salt, that it seasons. When I think about salt, that's the first thing I think about salt, is the fact that it seasons. Now, raise your hand if you have in your possession of your home, not right now, at least I hope not, but you have in possession of your home table salt. Raise your hand. Or a salt shaker, right? Everybody's got those, okay? Everybody's got a salt shaker. We have them. We use them on a constant basis to season and to enhance the flavors of our food. Now, how many of you people that just raised your hand as well, it's kind of like second nature as soon as a plate of food is sat in front of you to grab the salt shaker and just put it on without even tasting it? Would anybody admit to that? Okay, all right. There's some people, it doesn't matter what it tastes like. They've never even tried it. It could be the most saltiest dish ever, and they're going to continue just out of habit, just put the salt on. They just got the saltiest French fries ever. They're just going to add more salt to the fries as well. And so those things happen. That's kind of habitual. But the idea is that kind of seasoning and enhancing the flavor of a dish, you know, as you think about that, as you think about salt, you could make a dish with every ingredient that it called for and leave out the salt, and I'll guarantee you this, you could notice that it's gone. You could taste that it's not there. One of the things that I can think of that we like to make, especially in the summertime, is salsa. You make homemade salsa, but if you leave out the salt, I'm telling you, it does not taste like salsa. It just tastes like a bunch of mix of vegetables and something like that, but it's missing that enhancement, and that is provided by the salt. Now, salt enhances the flavor of food, and I'm convinced that the hardest diet in the world would not be a low-fat diet. It would not be a low-carb diet. It wouldn't be a Atkins diet or anything like that, or a one of the shake diets or something like that. I think the hardest diet in the world would be a no-salt or a low-salt, low-sodium diet. Does anybody else agree? I mean, that'd be pretty difficult. I can eat some asparagus if I put enough salt on it. It's no problem. I could do it. I can eat some healthy things with enough salt. But to take salt completely out, man, that's hard because it seasons. It enhances that flavor. But not only does salt season and enhance in flavor, it also is a preservative. It's used to preserve. And again, throughout the course of human history, salt has been used to preserve food. I don't know if you kids know this, but these things called fridges and freezers haven't been around forever. All right, the means by which we preserve our food has not been around forever. In fact, there might be some people in this room that had at one point no freezer or no fridge as a little child. I don't know who those might be, but there might be somebody that can remember a time like that. But one of the ways in which they would preserve their food, especially meat, would be that of using salt to preserve it. Whether it's curing or storing, salt's been important, a very important element to the preservation of food. And as we talked about, salting meat, that's done to dry it out and to prevent it from spoiling so it can be stored longer, for longer periods of time. And that's often what they did before they had the refrigerators and freezers that we enjoy today. Not only does salt season or flavor, not only does salt preserve, but it also cleanses as well. Salt is kind of acts as a cleansing agent. Now, as you think about that, you've heard the term, don't rub salt in the wound. And of course, I would not recommend taking a bunch of salt into a raw wound. But you guys have heard of saline, right? Saline is water mixed with salt. Now, it's not a lot of salt, but it's just a little bit of salt, but it's there to help keep things clean, help keep things bacteria-free. All that is there as just a sodium chloride mixture there with water used commonly throughout the medical field. I remember as a young boy that one of the things my granny taught me was if I ever had a sore throat, my throat was ever sore, if it was ever bothering me, not to take any kind of a medicine, she told me to gargle what? Salt. All right, I remember doing that. I remember one of the first times doing that and accidentally swallowing a whole bunch and about throwing up into the sink. I mean, you know, it's not something you naturally know how to do, how to gargle salt or anything, how to gargle it. But I remember that. One of the things my granny taught me was to do that. And of course, that's used for canker sores as well. Something I use regularly as a saline solution to clean something or to keep something pure is my contact lens solution. Has saline in it, has salt in it, as kind of a way to preserve and fight against bacteria. So all of that is there as kind of cleansing agents. And really the last thing I can think of, just kind of a prominent thing about salt, is that it promotes thirst. It promotes thirst. You guys know what I'm talking about. You're sitting there at the basketball game or the football game or somewhere where they just serve some hot, fresh, salty popcorn and you ate it faster than you really should have, and you know how popcorn goes. It's like you look down and it's there, and you look down and it's not going away, and you look down and you take another scoop, and you look down and it's gone. At least that's the way popcorn, it seems to just disappear. But salt makes you thirsty. It promotes thirst. It kind of brings that out of you. I just last Friday, we went to the Suburban game, and they're giving popcorn on the way out the door. So we're eating popcorn on the way out the door, and we had to drive over by the Greenwood Park Mall to run a couple errands. And we pulled out and got out there, and we were all thirsty. It was like, we need a drink. We had nothing. There was not a stitch of water to be found anywhere, but salt was promoting our thirst and was there to promote our thirst. Now, this isn't the application of the message tonight. Certainly, we could take every single one of those and say, well, this is perhaps what Jesus was talking about. This is perhaps what he was saying, that we kind of season and enhance the flavor of the world on God's appetite. Or we could say that we're here as salt and we're preserving the world from destruction for a time being. Or we could say that as salt, we're kind of cleansing the world of wickedness if we're doing right and sharing the gospel with others. Or if we're living right, we're salt because we're promoting a thirst for God and others. I can understand all those things are there, but I think the primary thing that Jesus was getting across just by even sharing the fact that we're to be salt was that salt is valuable. Salt has worth. Salt is important. Salt, there's a reason for it. Although it may seem insignificant to others, it may not seem like a very important thing, it has great worth to all of us, and it's something that we don't give much thought to at all. And although there's no concrete use that Christ was speaking of, as I said, I think he's illustrating the overall value that salt has. Just as salt is valuable to the world, so is the Christian. So is the Christian. You are valuable to the world. Now, what is interesting to note in this is Christ did not say that ye are like salt. He said ye are salt. You are. Whether you like it or not. Whether you want to be or not, whether it's what you would choose or not, whether it's what you would plan or not, it doesn't matter. He said of himself, ye are the salt of the earth. You are salt. You are valuable to this earth. The second thing as I think about salt and looking in this passage in verse number 13 is a little salt goes a long way. A little salt goes a long way. Just as a dash of salt can be highly effective to your food. You know, as I think about that, oftentimes we sit down, and I don't know about you, I hope you're not just like just pour the salt on type of person. But yesterday, my wife and I went on a late Thanksgiving date yesterday, and so went to Maggiano's on our late Thanksgiving Thanksgiving, Valentine's. But I'm always thankful for my wife, and so that's what I meant. But anyways, I digress. All right. So Valentine's Day, a late Valentine's date, and there at Maggiano's and got a meal, and I resisted salting right away. All right, I thought, hey, these guys know what they're doing. It's going to be great food, and I took a couple bites, and it was good. But it needed just a little bit of salt to kind of bring it all together, bring it all out. So sure enough, I grabbed the salt, just a little bit on there. I couldn't even see it. I think it fell out of the salt shaker as best I could tell. And I couldn't see it. It's just a small trace, but it did. It enhanced the taste and the flavor of that. You know, as I talked about, just a little bit of salt goes a long way, and we talk about it in food, and even in the saline solution, as I talked about that being a salt and water combination, did you know that there is less than 1% of salt in saline? Just a little bit. Just a little bit of salt goes a long way. Just a little bit of salt makes a difference. And although small and seemingly invisible, its effects are noticeable. Its effects are noticeable. Can I tell you tonight that you may feel small, insignificant, ineffective, or unnoticed in your witness, but as the salt of the earth, you are making a difference. You might be here tonight and you say, Brother Aaron, you have no clue what I'm going through. It just seems like I cannot make any kind of headway. I cannot make any difference at all. Can I tell you that Jesus himself said you are the salt of the earth? And I'm telling you from our own knowledge of the properties of salt, that just a little bit of salt goes a long way. Just a little bit of salt can make a difference. Think about the disciples and the apostles in the early New Testament in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter number 17, in verse number 5, now they had taken Jason at this point because they're after Paul and Silas, and Jason had housed them, and since Paul and Silas had left, they went ahead and took Jason. It says in verse number 5 of chapter number 17, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And then in the next verse, it says that they had turned the world upside down. Turn the world upside down. Just a few disciples had turned the known world at this time upside down. I'm telling you, just a little salt will go a long way. You might be sitting here tonight and say, Brother Aaron, you have no idea. I'm the only one in my family that's trying to do what's right. I'm the only one in my family that's trying to be the salt of the earth. Brother Aaron, I'm the only one that's trying to make a difference. Can I tell you tonight that Christ said you are the salt of the earth, and as the salt of the earth, you are making a difference if you're living for Christ. It might not seem like it. You may not understand. You may not see it completely. But I'm telling you, just a little bit of salt goes a long way. You might be here tonight and you say, Brother Aaron, you have no idea what's going on in my workplace. You might work with a few. You might work with many. You might work with a large company, a large corporation. You might work with just a small team or a small business. You might be in even a Christian so-called business, but you sit there and you say, Brother Aaron, sometimes I wonder whether I'm really making a difference. Sometimes I wonder if God's really using me here. Sometimes I wonder if I'm really being effective here. Sometimes I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to do what's right, and I wonder how effective I'm really being as a Christian. Can I tell you tonight, he said, ye are the salt of the earth, and you're being effective. Just a little bit of salt goes a long way if you're living for Christ, if you're doing what's right. You might be here tonight as a young person that attends school or that attends college, and you might say, whether it be a Christian or it be a public setting, you might say, I feel like I'm not making the difference. I feel like I'm the only one. I'm telling you, as someone that graduated from Warren Central High School with 4,000 students, and others can testify to this fact, sometimes you feel like you're the only one. But I can tell you this, that Jesus Christ said, ye are the salt of the earth, and as the salt of the earth, just a little bit goes a long way. Yeah. Just a little bit goes a long way. You might be in your pew tonight and say, Brother Aaron, have you been watching what's taking place on TV? Have you seen what's going on with politics right now? Have you seen what's going on in our nation? Have you seen what's taking place in Washington, D.C.? Have you seen what's taking place all across our country, whether it be violence, whether it be sin and immorality, whatever the case might be? Brother Aaron, have you seen it? Have you seen how wicked this world is getting, how disgusting the United States is, and the things that we're standing with, that we used to stand against? Have you seen those things, Brother Aaron? It's just so hard to be a Christian in the 21st century. A little bit of salt goes a long way. Amen. Some Christians that decide that I'm going to make a difference and I'm going to live for God, that I'm going to do what's right. Just a little bit of salt goes a long way. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. Just a little bit of salt goes a long way. But salt has to be applied to have an impact. Has to be applied to have an impact. You could sit there at your dinner and say, you know what, this food is just not very salty. I wish I had some salt that I could put on this, and it's stored on your shelf in your pantry. That salt is just sitting there. It's not doing you any good. It's not doing you any good. Did you notice in this passage, he said, ye are the salt of the earth, not ye are the salt of Jerusalem. Not ye are the salt of Judea. Not ye are the salt of Samaria. Ye are the salt of the earth. It's not confined to just where you're at right now and personally and certainly. That's where it begins, but it begins there and it spreads out to the rest of the earth. I'm reminded of what Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What good is our saltiness or our savor as Christians if we keep it hidden? If we keep it tucked away in the pantry? If we're not going to live openly for Christ in our schools, openly for Christ in our workplaces, openly for Christ in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our country, what good is our saltiness if it's hidden? You know, we're not looking as the Lighthouse Baptist Church to just keep it all to ourselves. We want to spread the light, spread the salt, spread it all throughout our world. And it begins here in the city of Indianapolis and goes on from there. Yeah. But as the salt of the earth, we must spread our influence. But what I see here in verse number 13 is this, the danger of salt losing its savor. The danger of salt losing its savor. Look at verse 13. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now, as we talk about common table salt, losing the saltiness or the savorness of that is not really something that's very plausible. Sodium chloride is one of the strongest compounds there is. But Jesus wasn't talking about table salt, okay? He was talking about the salt that would be present in that area in that day. Often be the salt water would leave residue or leave small pools of water. The sun would evaporate, leaving some salt residue there behind. They would gather that together, and then from thence they would get their salt. But that wouldn't be just sodium chloride. That would include other minerals as well. So he's saying as you take that clump of salt that would include some other minerals, if you were to take the saltiness out of that, you have nothing but a bunch of minerals. You have nothing but something that leaves no taste or maybe an unpleasant taste. Now, I think we'd agree tonight that without saltiness, salt has no worth. Without its savor, there's no worth, there's no value, as it says here. You think about this, if salt could not do anything for you, why have it? What would be the point of it? Now, some people keep things they'll never, ever use again. Those people are called herders or hoarders or pack rats or things like that. But salt, if it has no value, if it has no use, what's the point of keeping it? You know, the Bible even talked about this, that they would take it and throw it out into the streets. Even in the Bible times, if the salt had lost its savorness, if it had lost its saltiness, then what was the point of even keeping it? There was absolutely no use for it, so they would take it, just throw it out into the street. No use for it at all. The salt had lost its saltiness. Now, I don't know about you, but again, I talked about eating food without salt would just be miserable. Having no salt would be miserable. In fact, have you guys ever heard of salt substitute? Like no salt? It's like all the taste of salt without the sodium is how they advertise it. I'm telling you, there is no taste of salt in that stuff. I've tried it. It's disgusting. Salt without the saltiness or the savorness is useless. It's worthless. There's no use for it. But the question is, well, Brother Aaron, you said table salt can't lose its savorness. What is Jesus Christ talking about? Well, here's what he's talking about, okay? We have, again, that salt, that clump of salt that would be mixed with other minerals, and as that is exposed to the elements, perhaps it was not stored properly or it was exposed to water or something of that sort, it could literally wash away the salt, leaving only those minerals behind as it's exposed to the elements there. Now, as I think about that, I think about us as Christians, without our saltiness, without our Christ-likeness, we have no value to the world. We have no value, no worth to the world at all. I tell you that as we're exposed to the elements of this world, carnal and fleshly desires, it impacts our witness. As we turn away from Christ and we turn to the world and we begin to live like the world and we live in the flesh and live in carnal desires, we are losing our saltiness. And that's what Christ is talking about here. As you've exposed yourself to the world as a Christian and you've lost your saltiness, then you have no longer have any value at all to the world. It's worthless. A Christian without their testimony, a Christian without their influence is worthless. A Christian lacking the humility, the love, the joy, and the compassion of Christ is tasteless. Tasteless. In fact, I'd go as far as to say this, that Christian lacking the joy, the peace, the love, the humility of Christ puts a bad taste in the world's mouth. Puts a bad taste in their mouth. We wonder why Christians have a negative view of Christ, why they have a bad taste in their mouth of church and of Christianity. It's because of Christians that have lost their savor. Put a bad taste in their mouth. The Bible says it's worthless. It's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Mark 9, verse 50 says this, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." It says, have salt in yourselves. That reveals to me that the keeping of the salt is dependent upon you. To have salt in yourselves, that's a work that has to be done in us. If I want to be effective in this world, if I want to be a salt of the earth, as Christ told me, then it's dependent upon me and my relationship with Christ and my exposure to Him and my limiting my exposure to the things of this world. You look at this and you say, "Brother Aaron, we're supposed to be a salt of the earth, so I just need to jump into the world." No, I want you to understand this. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen. We have to guard ourselves against the influence of the world. I want to be effective as a Christian. And so because of that, salt has to be preserved, has to be protected, has to be stored properly, protected from the elements. To preserve our testimony and witness, we must protect ourselves from the elements of the world and stay close to Christ. He makes it clear, you are not like salt, you are salt. You are the salt of the earth. You are valuable to this world as long as you have your savor. Our influence is not meant to be bottled up and kept to ourselves or stored on a shelf. You're the salt of the earth. And it might seem like an overwhelming task and that your influence is small. You might think that there's no difference being made, but I'm telling you, just a little bit of salt goes a long way. But don't lose your savor. Don't lose your influence. Don't lose your testimony. Don't lose your walk and your relationship with God. Don't lose that savorness as a salt in this world. Protect yourself from the elements of this world. I'll close with this quote. Marcus Dodds said this in his commentary on this passage. "Plainly, we are intended to infer that nothing is more contemptible than a Christian who does nothing to stay corruption. He is a soldier who wears the uniform of his regiment, but leaves the fighting to others. A physician who declines to visit the sick. It is of the very essence of the Christian that he makes some impression on the world." Amen. Ye are the salt of the earth. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for this day. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're not going to give a musical invitation on Wednesday night, but the altar is always open. An invitation is always standing for you to do business with how God spoke to your heart. Christ made it clear that ye are salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. You're valuable. You have worth. And just a little bit of salt goes a long way. It might be in your home, it might be in your school, it might be in your place of work, it might be with your extended family. It might be in your country. where you feel like you're not making a difference, can I tell you this, that if you have saltiness, if you have savor, if you have a walk in relationship with God, if you're reflecting Christ, then you're making a difference. Just a little bit of salt goes a long way. But can I encourage you tonight to don't lose your savor. Don't lose your savor. Anybody else? The altar's open. Father, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for these dear people. Thank you for their attentiveness tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just carry these thoughts with us, Lord, that we're valuable to this world as a witness for you, that we're important, Lord, and we can make a difference with our testimony as our command here to be the salt of the earth. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be reminded of that, that there's many different elements that salt does, but Lord, I pray that you'd help us to make a difference as a Christian in this world. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize just a little bit goes a long way, and that this church can make a huge impact in this city, in this state, in this country, in our world. Lord, and I pray that you'd help us to be committed to doing just that. But Lord, I pray that you help us protect against the elements of this world, protect ourselves from losing the savor. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to be an effective witness for you. Father, I pray now as we're dismissed that you would just give us your blessing, give us safety as we travel home. And Father, I pray that you bring us back on the next appointed hour. And Lord, we pray for Pastor and Mrs. Tidd and for Brother Andy and Miss Cherie that you bring them back safely at the end of this week as well. Lord, I pray that you bless us now as all now as we're dismissed. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.